Well, I'll start with a thank you for the invitation to speak, and then also start on a sort of sour note, which is that producing food via beef cattle is the least efficient scheme of making food with food animals. And so I'm going to go over something that may make it more efficient. So it's expensive to feed cows year-round, grow replacements, and so on. And if we look at the feed energy, and we could use protein or some other measure as well, but let's use energy, about 70% of the energy that goes into the entire beef system goes to the cow-calf herd, and about 30% post-weaning to slaughter. And that's partly because it's a much shorter period of time. Those animals sometimes are smaller than the cows and so on. So 70% of the feed and so on goes to the cow herd. And sometimes of the year, there's a less expensive feed and so on. This happens to be my herd on fall pasture, and it's not too nutritious. That's winter. Takes a fair bit of feed under some circumstances, and again, depends where you are and so on. So let's take that 70% of the energy that goes to the cow herd. How can you subdivide that? 70% of that goes to maintenance. When we're thinking about nutrition, that's basically keeping the cow warm. 30% goes to lactation, gestation, replacements, calf direct. So if you multiply the 70% of the energy in the system going to the cow herd and 70% of that going to maintenance, has the nutrients. So half of the nutrients in the entire system almost go to waste, just keeping the cows warm. Doesn't go to growth, doesn't go to lactation. So one of the ideas, well, let me summarize that. So this diagram then shows where energy goes. Maintenance to the cow, 50%, growing and finishing the calf, 18%, lactation, calf maintenance, and so on. And this is an approximation, and it'll vary depending whether it's a stock or phase and so on, but it gives you the idea. So the expenses involved in all this can be divided in direct and indirect. Direct would be a big one, is feed, labor, infrastructure, capital, indirect, carbon footprint, greenhouse gases, pollution, and so on. So, again, to summarize, half of the feed energy in the system goes to cow maintenance. This results in no increase in beef. And these cows, as they get older, become less valuable because the meat isn't as good and one thing and another. So what I'm proposing is just plain doing away with the cow herd since it's so inefficient and so on. And if we think about what the cow herd produces, calves, cold cows and bulls, children and lifestyle, so we need to think about those things as well. So when we were doing some sex semen experiments, and these happened to be some cattle at our beef unit in Wyoming, we bred some heifers to produce heifer calves with sex semen, and that was this generation. We bred them to sex semen to produce more heifers, which resulted in that generation. And by the way, these calves were all normal generation after generation. And then we got to thinking that, well, we could make this system work without having any males at all, except for artificial insemination. So the theoretical system then is each heifer replaces herself with a heifer calf. And then we wean at about 100 days, and then fatten the original heifer for another 2 or 3 months, get her slaughtered by 30 months of age. And if this thing worked perfectly, we don't need another source of animals because each heifer will have replaced herself. So again, this is a diagram showing the idea. And you can first you have to start this system somewhere. We have this actually series of events from birth to finishing and slaughter. So every animal would undergo that. Most of this system can be forage based. And you have to start somewhere. And the way I started this, and I did this with a demonstration project in my own herd, I started with yearling heifers. But one could start anywhere along that line and then bred them to sex semen. Part of the system is grain-based, and that has to happen after birth of the offspring. You've got to, well, not necessarily, but maybe some supplementation. But the finishing part there then is grain-based. Wean the offspring and then harvest them. And, of course, then that feeds back to keep the system going. Now, it doesn't work perfectly, so one has to add some animals to the system because sex semen is only about 90% accurate, although it's getting towards 95%. Some of the calves die, not everything gets pregnant, and so on. So let's start with sex semen. As we indicated last evening, it's greater than 90% accurate, but the fertility is low. That's one of the problems with this system. Of course, it requires AI. And then those who don't get pregnant with the first insemination, to resynchronize them would require heat detection. And there's some schemes that make that not too onerous. As I mentioned, it's not entirely self-sustaining. It summarizes not 100% female, some calf deaths, open late pregnancy. And someone needs to add replacements from somewhere. So these are some actual data from the system. So if one breeds 100 heifers with sex semen, about 50 get pregnant if you do everything right. So we get 45 females, 5 males. And then if one rebreeds those that are not pregnant, I figured we'd get about 80% of the 50% that didn't get pregnant in heat. So that's 40. That produces another 20 calves with sex semen, so we get another 18 females. Then we put them with a cleanup bull, and there we get equal sex ratios. And I have early pregnancy from the cleanup bull. With this system, if you're going to get the animal slaughtered by 30 months, what you need to do to prevent being docked for old animals by the packers, those that are get pregnant later fall out of the system. So if we have 88 born from this part of the system, 72 females, 16 males, we have some neonatal deaths and some deaths through the whole system, and I put that at 7% for heifers having calves. About 2/3 of the original 100 replace themselves, and the rest don't. Now there are other products here that can be sold with this system, so we get a few male calves, steer calves that can be sold. These that are pregnant too late to fit back in the system can be sold. And, of course, I have 5% that never got pregnant in the system, 95% pregnant with this scheme. So not entirely self-sustaining. And so that's a bit of a problem with this thing working theoretically perfectly. But there are lots of heifers around to fill in for that. And, in fact, we fatten and slaughter 3 million heifers a year in the U.S., so that would be one source of animals for that. And one can buy those heifers, maybe for less than you can even raise them. And this system is, it has got a lot of flexibilities about where you at the replacements, where you start, and so on. Another thing is you can get in and out of the system quite easily at different places. Okay, the main thing that comes up with people looking at this first time is you're calving heifers. Everything's just heifers. And quite frankly, calving heifers is different from what it was 15, 20 years ago. If one uses low calving difficulty service sires, the heifer calves are 5 pounds lighter than the bull calves, there's less dystocia, and of course one has to have well-grown, well-managed heifers. So, you know, I calve 100-plus heifers a year, and we don't really have problems calving heifers. We haven't done a C-section in 5 years. Now, we've had some difficult pulls and so on, but it's not that big a deal. Fringe benefits of the system. No first calf heifers to breed. The most difficult critters on the ranch are those first calf heifers that are lactating. We don't breed them. We feed them and slaughter them. You have no old cows with cancer, eyes, mastitis, feet and leg problems. One decreases the calf's need for castration dramatically. And a big one is one decreases generation interval because you select every animal, every generation, at least for the 2/3 of them that replace themselves, so you can make much faster genetic progress. And you can make mistakes faster this way, too, of course, if you're not doing things right. But if you're doing things right, big plus on the cow end of the generation interval of the genetic progress equation, which we've seen presented a couple times. Big thing, no cow herd to maintain. All animals are growing. You get more beef per unit feed, more beef per unit methane, waste products, and so on. Back of the envelope calculations would indicate you need about 30% less nutrients to produce the same amount of beef. I emphasize back of the envelope calculations. There are fringe costs. You are calving heifers, and while it's not as bad as it was years ago because we do things better, we have the genetics and so on of calving ease, you're still calving heifers. Fertility of sex semen, and while that's improving, it's something that's a negative in the system. The pregnancy hormones make the bones ossify in these heifers. So a 30-month-old animal that's had a calf has harder bone than one that doesn't have a calf. And the packers sometimes discount for that. And as I'll show you some data that the meat is just fine. But males gain weight more efficiently than females, but with implants and so on, there's not that much of a difference, but still another factor. Will it really work? It appears profitable, and depending when you start, you start this system, and I started it when heifer prices were a little high, and when those heifers were bred, I could have sold the things for $2,500 a piece as bred heifers rather than waiting a little bit longer and selling them for $2,800 as a car, you know. So, but you can get in and out of the system, so it depends when you start and so on. You do have to have a 30-plus percent replacement for other places, but can mesh with a conventional cow herd. So, in the spring of 2013, I bought 54 commercial heifers, bred them to polled Hereford sex semen, used the polled Hereford cleanup bull, and then they calved in 2014, slaughtered later that year, and so on. Importantly, even though I'm financing the whole thing, we do have some graduate students from Colorado State University getting their theses on this project. Now, because it's a 2-year process from the calves being born to slaughter, you need to have two sets going in parallel that are a year apart to get annual income. And so I'll illustrate that this way. So in 2013, we started with founder set one, is what I'll call it, 54 heifers. So they were bred 2013, slaughtered 2014. And then I did in parallel exactly the same thing the next year with another set of 57 heifers. And then the next set is the calves from founder set one, and then the calves from founder set two, and so on. So it becomes sort of self-sustaining after a while. The big capital investment up front, however. So we, in fact, slaughtered the calves from founder set one just a Saturday a week ago. And in a way, this is the first test of the system because we started with these commercial heifers. And so these are the first genetics where we actually bred the animals. So this is a long-term project to make it work. Oops. So let's see, where are we going? So those are the calves from founder set one after early weaning. So set one, bred 54 heifers. A disappointing pregnancy rate with sex semen. Again, this was a commercial sex semen we bought. 19 out of 20 were female, however. And then we had some more females from the cleanup bull. We had 13 males to sell. 11 heifers were bred later open, and I actually made a fair bit of money on, fortunately, on these critters. But was disciplined and didn't sell those others as bred heifers. Okay. Okay. And then we do fence line weaning. So this just shows these animals, the mothers and the weaned calves a day after weaning, and they make contact, and therefore it's a low-stress situation. And I've also learned that when we put these animals in the feedlot, it works very well to leave them as pairs for the first 2 weeks of feeding, because the mothers teach the calves to eat. And at that point, once ramping up the ration for fattening, and so that's fine for the calves and so on. So that's a little trick that makes this thing work a little bit better. Things worked a little bit better with set two. I added some animals to, the founder set. Bred 57 heifers. Two technical problems. One of the technical problems was one was a free Martin. And the other one had an abnormality reproductive tract. So there we had 47% pregnancy and so on. This shows founder set two when we were breeding them the second time. So, and the way we did that is put a seeder in 12 days after inseminating them on a fixed time protocol, took that seeder out after 7 days, and then bred those that came into heat, and they all come into heat in a couple of days. So these are data you've seen before, but in a little different form from Jordan Thomas's work at the University of Missouri on how one has to manage fixed timed AI with sex semen. So just to go over this quickly, these were on, I believe, a seven-day co-sync plus cedar program, and they had estrotech patches, and either they were tripped or untripped. So with the unsexed semen, 77% with tripped, 37% untripped. With the sexed semen, 47% tripped. So lower pregnancy rates with sexed semen. But look at the untripped sex semen. Bred 113 critters and got two pregnant. But if they took that same set rather than breed them at the fixed time, waited till the next day, they got 39% pregnant. So that's the way we handle it as well. That is, we put Estrotec patches on, did fixed time AI of those that tripped, those that weren't tripped, bred the next day. And so this is the scheme, so I won't take a lot of time over it. We used a 14-day seeder, a prostaglandin day 30, with day zero being when you put the seeder in. 66 hours gave GnRH and 8i if tripped. If not tripped, we bred them the next day. With this set, we had 45% pregnant. From the tripped ones, the ones that were not tripped bred the next day 54% pregnant overall. And kind of interestingly, the ones that were not tripped at the appointed time but were tripped the next day, very high pregnancy rate, 7 out of 9, which we see with sexed and non-sexed semen. So, carcass characteristics. So, how do you determine if you've got an old animal without any birth date information? You do it by ossification of bone plus the number of broad teeth. And so these animals were divided into two groups. Those that didn't have highly ossified bones and had three or fewer broad teeth, and those that had were more mature based on these indirect measures, not on birth dates. So this was with founder set one, marbling was identical. Even though they had hard bone, more teeth, tenderness measured by shear force, identical as well, just no differences. In fact, the sematuries were a little bit better. We had essentially exactly the same thing on the second set we looked at, so I won't bother you with those data. That is, the carcasses are tender and well marbled. Just the ones we slaughtered Saturday a week ago. Really graded well. So there were 46 of them. Three were prime, 42 choice, one select. And look at this yield grades. All ones to threes. There were no yield grade fours and fives. So not only can we get choice and a few prime out of this system, the meat's tender, it's well marbled, it grades, doesn't have too much fat. These heifers really gain well. You wean them, they eat, first they eat a lot, but they'll gain 4 pounds a day. So you don't have a lot of yardage in them because you just have to have them in for 2 or 3 months to do that. So the meat is fine. Although the packers will dock you whenever they can. And in fact, we had verified birth dates third party on this last set, but they went by, they said, well, that might be true, but the teeth indicate they're older, even though we had the actual birth dates, okay? So they docked us $100 a head on 29 head. In any case, lessons learned. The steer calves and late pregnant heifers are a nice source of income, even though they fall out of the system. Pairs in the feedlot result in teaching the calves to eat. Packers will discount whenever they can. There are synergies with the conventional cow herd. I'll say a little bit more of that next slide. But it's difficult to get more than 70% of the heifers replacing themselves for all the reasons we talked about earlier, imperfect sex semen and so on. Synergism with the conventional cow herd. So in my own herd, we calve our heifers 3 weeks before the cows, but we calve this all heifers 3 weeks after the cows. Now, my crew doesn't like that because we have three sets of animals calving over and over. But the late-born heifers from my conventional herd then are really early-born ones for the all-heifer scheme. And so I know those genetics and feed those back in. For the third of the calves that I don't get from the all-cow thing, I get from the late-calving ones, which I don't want anyway for my regular cow herd. And we have no birth dates with that. And there are pluses and minuses to spreading out the calving season. Comparing systems, it's really difficult. What is the control for this? I hate zero degree of freedom experiments, but this is a zero degree of freedom experiment. It's a demonstration project. That's how I get away with it psychologically, okay? It's a demonstration project. One treatment. Now, I would have liked to have at least 50 on one treatment, 50 another, but my banker wouldn't go along with that investment. So, it's a demonstration project. So, with this all-heifer system and no-cow system, we sell 30-month-old carcasses, which are really good meat. We have a few steer calves and the late pregnant heifers to sell with conventional cow calf. We have feeder calves, cull cows, and we also have some late non-pregnants. So to compare them, one really almost needs to do a simulation with various assumptions and so on. So if all that sounds too complicated, a variation on the scheme is to just take feedlot heifers, breed them, the pregnant ones become the cow herd, the non-pregnant ones you keep feeding. Okay? And sex semenus are optional. With that, you often don't have birth dates. Now, if the packers ignore birth dates, it doesn't matter anyway. But that's a variation on the scheme. And I also emphasize that with this system, you can get in and out fairly easily. Like if bred heifers prices are up and you've got this scheme going, sell the bred heifers, get some more and go. So why do this at all? Actually, this isn't very new. This variation that I've got here, Dr. Brethauer at Kansas State worked on this 20 years ago. Has a very nice paper looking at different ways of producing beef. And so he had the conventional cow-calf with and without stocker, and he had this system as well. And this was the most efficient way of producing beef, quite independent of having sex semen, with the simulation work they did, simulating what would happen with over 20 years. They took 20 years of cattle prices and so on. Not only was this the most profitable, it was the most efficient, and it had the least variation of any of the systems from year to year. So, it hasn't caught on, partly because of dealing with a 30-month-old deal and also, I guess, inertia. So with that, I want to acknowledge animal sciences faculty at Colorado State University, especially Jack Whittier, some graduate students, my ranch queue, and the banker. Thank you.